I'm going to be reading from chapter 2 and verse 22 from the book of Revelation. In verse 22, our Lord, the Son of God, is referring to Jezebel, the one who called herself a prophetess, the one who had seduced his servants to sin. In the long black roll of human infamy, there is not a blacker name than that of Jezebel. She was the great seducer to idolatry. Her name has become the symbol of all that is wicked and wrong and sinful. He said, "I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your work. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden." Jesus, in the 24th verse, is talking to the pastor and to the rest of the ones in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. It's as though our Lord is telling the angel of this church, you don't have to deal with Jezebel. I have already dealt with her. I gave her space to repent, and she repented not. Now, I'm going to take care of this problem. She is no longer your problem. You had a chance to rebuke her. You had a chance to separate her from your flock. You had a chance, and you did not. So now, I have taken it upon myself personally to deal with this woman. I'm going to put her in a bed of great tribulation, and those that commit adultery with her will suffer the same fate, except they repent of their deeds. If they repent of their deeds, I will forgive them. But this was not the case with Jezebel. She refused to repent, and Jesus did not forgive her because she repented not. But if those that had committed adultery with her would repent, he would forgive them. And then he said in verse 23, I will kill her children with death, her offsprings, those who were totally committed to her and her doctrine, they would be killed with death. It's as though he is telling the pastor, when people begin dying in your church, don't be alarmed. When you see people in your church going through tremendous tribulation, don't worry about it. The church doesn't have a curse on it. I'm not destroying this church because of them. I'm going to destroy them. They will be destroyed. So don't be alarmed. What you're going to see in the next short while will be me executing judgment on these false teachers and those that have committed themselves to this false teaching. I'm going to kill our children, he said. So when these that have committed themselves to her begin to die out, don't be alarmed. It's just me at work doing what I told you I would do. But unto you, my dear pastor, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, I will put upon you none other burden. You're not going to be burdened with these tribulations that these others of the false teacher is going through. the Son of God recognized that there was some, including this pastor, that was doing the right thing. And he says, "That which you have, hold fast till I come." What did they already have? They had charity, service, faith, patience, and works. He said, "These things I like, I appreciate. You are commended for having all of these. You hold fast to this." The word "hold fast" is like a warning, as though you could actually lose these things. You could lose this charity and this faith and your patience and the good works of God. Hold them fast, as though the enemy was trying to take them from you. Get a firm grip on this thing, and you do it until I come. It sounds like to me that he is saying, after I come, you won't have this problem anymore. If you can hold fast till I come, that's all you need to do. Hold fast till I come and get you. And once I come and get you and bring you unto myself, that where I am, there you shall be also. It's as though he is saying, when I come, the struggle will be over. The threat of losing this will be over. The devil will have no more influence over you once I come. I'm going to take you out of all of this mess. None of the things of this world will have any influence on you anymore. And then he says, he that overcomes what? He that overcomes all of these temptations to stray from the Word of God. He that overcomes that wicked one, he said, and keeps my works unto the end. What is his works? When Jesus was here on the earth, some asked him, "What must I do to do the works of God?" He says, "The works of God is to believe in me." He said, "If you will continue believing in me, trusting in me, obeying me, to him that does this, I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star." Imagine that, the morning star. In Revelations 22 and 16, Jesus himself said, "I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star." What more can you ask for? You keep holding fast, and one day all of this will be exchanged for the morning star. This reminds me of the old song, my favorite old song, which says, "I will cling to the old rugged cross." Clinging, holding fast, never letting go, until at last I exchange it for a crown. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then in verse 29, he says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." More than one time, more than two times, more than three times in the Gospels, we find Jesus using the word, "He that has an ear to hear, let him hear." In the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 14 and 15, he says, "If you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that has an ear, let him hear." And then again in Luke chapter 14, when speaking of salt, he said, "Salt is good, but if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath an ear, let him hear. I like that. Let him hear. I'm going to end the lesson right here, but I want to remind you that we are involved in a struggle in which we must cling to the Word of God, cling to the doctrines of Christ, cling to the rightly divided truth, cling to the doctrine of the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all sin. The devil would like to pry you loose from this truth and forever be damned. Friend, one day this struggle will be over. So cling on. What you have of truth, hold on with your life. And one day, when our ride shows up and we are all airlifted to glory, it will all be over.